As we come to God's Word this morning, let us pray. Sovereign Holy Spirit, Jesus has promised that you would be our teacher, that you would lead us into all truth. And as we come to this passage that speaks of your teaching and your leading, and as it speaks with promises that rejoice our heart, we pray that you would fill our heart with joy to recognize that your care is going to be given, that we learn well the lessons you have for us this Thanksgiving Day. And so we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, our passage this morning is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. I want to consider that with you, and I think you'll find it quite appropriate and I hope very helpful. The Word of God begins with Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. Brethren, do you believe Paul when he says in verse 28, God causes all things to work together for good? Some of us have learned since last March, found us locked down and in many days feeling alone, that that's tougher than you would have thought to consider that God is working this time in history for good. It's been a little like learning the certain proverbs we've known all our lives and trusted in, such as all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, or honesty is the best policy, makes them kind of seem untrue, doesn't it? But this is different. We are talking about God, our Father in heaven, and His work in our lives, and make no mistake, nothing that has happened to us since March is any different from any other thing that has happened in our lives that we've struggled with. It is His work in our lives. In our text in Romans 8, 28 to 30 are the words of our living God, our Father in heaven, who cannot lie or do evil. So it must be, since nothing can happen without His doing it, without His decreeing it, that all things are caused by God to work together for good. Well, so far so good, right? But suppose you caught COVID-19. Or suppose someone you loved died of COVID-19. Or what if you got cancer? Or lost your job or found you needed an emergency operation that you might die from? Or suppose you are living in chronic pain or fear. Suppose you were afraid to face the future. Or you've suffered a loss, or you're afraid you will suffer a loss. Or a friend or a loved one is injured. Or, well, just fill in the blank. Do you? Would you still believe God works all things together for good? I want to, briefly, I promise, open up our text and apply it. For it proposes as absolute, inerrant, and infallible truth that God works in your life as a believer in all things for good. That's Romans 8, 28. I'll read it again to you. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And that describes you. If you're a believer, that describes you. God, we are being told by Paul, and he's inspired by the Holy Spirit in this, God is the sovereign cause of everything that happens in your life, bar none. The answer to the question, why did this or that happen, is always this: God caused it. God decreed it. And yet he is free of sin and can never do evil, so he's not done evil this time either. God is never responsible for the wicked things that happen. Sinners do that. The devil tempts. But sinners do it. And all of that, as impossible or incredible as it may seem, is by God's sinless decree. And no, we cannot fully comprehend this, but must confess it as truth because God just told us so in verse 28. He is at work for good in those who love him. By his decree, every event, even evil or sad events, take place for good. Yes, even our suffering works for good. By definition, because God is infinitely and eternally good, each event, evil and sad, aims at a good end. And therefore, you have no just cause to criticize him. God is not your servant, nor does he answer to you for what he does. A complaint to God is not appropriate if it means you're criticizing him. Listen to Ecclesiastes 5:2. Do not be hasty in work or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven, and you are on the earth. That means he's above you, he rules you. Therefore, let your words be few. And he's referring to criticisms or words of complaint. Let your words be few. And he does what he does for his own good purposes. Yes, even in his decree of the sad and evil and horrific things for which he is not responsible for the sin, but he's decreed that these things take place. God is incapable of doing evil. He is incapable of sin. But he does allow evil to exist and even harm us. But why would he do that? Well, there are several reasons. We can't go into them all. But one might be he wants to cause us to see our own sin. Or he wants us to learn to hate our sin. Surely he wants to show us our helplessness. But most of all, he wants to cause us to look to him for help. And that should move us at such times to search our hearts, to see where there might be unconfessed, unrepented of sin, to confess our helplessness, and then cast yourselves upon the mercy of God, our loving Father, and his Son. But it should also assure you that God does not do these things because he hates you, but because he loves you, and he knows that you love him. Again, verse 28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But seeing that should also lead us to ask the reason he does what he does. We're to ask that of Scripture, and Paul addresses that next, because that is part of the good he is doing. And this is one very important good among others, such as glorifying himself, that he is working all things to accomplish. And the reason he does what he does to begin with is to make you like Jesus, which was his plan from the beginning of eternity. Look at verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Notice the words that Paul uses. Foreknew, predestined. It refers to before time began. Before time began, he foreloved. He knew also means he foreloved you. Before time began, he determined that you would be the image of Christ, just as he wanted Adam to be his image. Well, Adam fell, but when Christ came to save you and undo the fall of Adam, he proceeded to work the plan he originally wanted to do in the beginning. Although he decreed Adam's fall, he hasn't changed his plan. His goal has always been, remains, and always will be that Christ be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters who will be just like him. Do you know what that means? I mean, do you really know what that means? This is what God told Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Well, Paul is essentially saying the same thing about each of us. He has appointed us to become the perfect image of Jesus Christ. God's ultimate goal for your life in everything he does, everything he decrees, is to make you the perfect image of Jesus Christ, his eternal and beloved Son. He has appointed you for this, just like he appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet. Your life and how it turns out is of eternal importance to God, and he has loved you for all eternity and always will, and because he does, he will make sure your life turns out the way he wants it to. Therefore, based on that, move on to see the amazing and glorious plan he has for you in verse 30. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorifies. Those are steps from the new birth to heaven. He predestines you to be saved. He calls you to Christ, and he justifies you, and he plans to glorify you in heaven to make you just like his Son. Your life and how it turns out is of eternal importance to God, and he has loved you for all eternity, and he always will. And that's still true, even though you may be going through some terrible times from a human perspective. Therefore, based on that, if you have faith in Jesus, you know that God from all eternity unchangeably loved and called you to be his son or daughter. If you have faith in Jesus, you know that God has eternally, irrevocably justified you. You are, and always will be, unchangeably sinless, righteous in his sight. And you, my dear brother or sister, are destined to be unchangeably and irrevocably glorified with Jesus when he returns. You'll be his perfect likeness in heaven, or when he returns. So I ask you, and take this question seriously, consider it and answer it for yourself. Are these not good things? And if you answer, yes, they are, you are simply echoing Paul's words in verse 28, and we know that God causes all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And now you know, if you didn't know before, his purpose is to make you just like Christ in glory. Now, beloved, today is Thanksgiving Day, when we remember that the pilgrims came to this country, and many died of diseases and other causes after they came here. They went through some hard times, a hard winter, tough times growing the crops. Even with the help of the Native Americans, they had a tough time. And while it is not likely, because of their convictions, it's not likely they had a formal Thanksgiving service, being faithful and reformed Christians, they certainly tried to be thankful in all things. Specifically, they were thankful for safe travel, as from England to Massachusetts, for the peace they were able to live in and worship in, unmolested by the government, and the right to worship biblically, and the gift of labor in their new land. Yes, they believed hard work was a gift from God. They traveled, no doubt, trusting that God would work their flight from persecution for good, and they found that good here in what would become the United States of America. And so they gave thanks regularly. And can you not thank God for your safety, for peace with God, and the gift of our own labor? Add to that our families and our church family. So look back on these last 9 months and consider all the good that God has done in your life and mine, even through our trials. What good? I've been locked away. Are you still alive? Do you still know that God loves you? Is God answering prayer? Has He given you unexpected blessings? Do you have brothers and sisters in Christ and relatives who are, that you love, that you still love and still love you? Look back and see that He has used this difficult time to draw you and me closer to Himself and make us grow in our faith, and most of all, to make us more like Jesus according to His plan. And beloved, look forward and expect God to continue to work for the good in 2021. For some of us, this has been a time of fear and uncertainty and pain. Some people have lost jobs. Some people have lost money. And we've lost some of our fellowship and worship. And then throw in the awful election process and the uncertainty of the future. But I would exhort you, dear ones, to remember what you and I have learned from this passage of Scripture and ask God to seal it to your heart and my heart and burn it into our memories. And then let us give thanks in all things today and every day going forward. For this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. But more than all that, can you not look to God in the light of His gracious and good purposes in afflicting you and say to Him, Father, dear Father in heaven, thank you for all you have done and are doing and will yet do in my life here on earth. Never say that anything God is doing is bad or evil or wrong or unfair. If you're in the habit of criticizing God in your heart and often, ask God to graciously deliver you from a critical and complaining spirit, to give you repentance from that. And so may each day of the rest of your life truly Thanksgiving Day. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you work all things together for good because you love us and you've called us according to your purpose. And we thank you for the process by which you're making us like your Son. Continue that work in us and give us grace to submit to it cheerfully and give thanks in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.